Somebody said the other day they wanted to speak about Beck, but they couldn't speak because they cried. And I said, well, so what? Just go ahead and cry, and when you get through crying, we'll speak. And did that at a funeral one time. A little girl was going to sing a song like that, very emotional song. And she started out singing, and right in the middle of it, she started crying. And the Holy Spirit just moved in that service in a mighty way. You can't ever tell how many people got saved. And, you know, it was just amazing. Now, I finished the song for her, and that made a lot of people cry. I started to say, Brad, I can finish that for you, but everybody else would cry then. We'll turn in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. And God is good to us. I tell you what, it is in the darks of the night. Man, when he was, you know, he's always there. I want to talk about how God leads. How God leads our lives. We have in Acts chapter 15, verse, well, I've moved my Bibles. Okay. Acts chapter 15, starting with verse 36, a passage of scripture that we all know. He said, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brethren in every city where we preach the word. Now, what he's going to do in this book of Acts, we want to just kind of go over the book of Acts and talk about it. You don't have to take him out. You know, someone said if he cries, rock him. So just rock him. If that don't work, get a bigger rock. And he's going to be a preacher, I guarantee you. And don't take him out. He's all right. You know, Paul is going back and visiting the churches where he has taught and brought the people along. And now he's going to back and see how God is leading them there to growth and everything like this. And you know, it's important to go back into the churches and mission efforts there to see what God is doing. I believe this church is a mission-minded church, folks. I really want to get involved in missions this year and do things we never have done before, because it's through the mission efforts that the gospel came to us. And it's through this man Paul and his work, how God led his life. So he has an interest in going back and telling about the mission work that's going on. And can you imagine going into a strange country where others had not explored, a place where maybe they can't speak the language, to witness to them and tell them about Jesus Christ? Well, it is extremely helpful when a person like that understands that the Holy Spirit is guiding. The Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, guides our life. And that's what this passage of Scripture in 36 through 41 is all about. God guiding Paul's life, Barnabas' life, and how he moves the mission endeavor to us and to other parts of the world. You see, God guides his children. I want you to understand that. God guides his children. Folks, I wouldn't have ever been into the ministry if it hadn't been God's guiding hand upon some people's lives. You know, we get in our mind that we're going to do this and we're going to do it, or just, you know, nothing else matters. But thank the Lord that he uses people to change our minds and move us in different directions. And I believe God does that. He changes our lives through people that we meet. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and what? He will direct your path. So what we have to do is simply trust in the Lord with all our heart. Now that means that we've given our lives to Christ. We've given everything about us to Christ. Our only ambition is to let God use our lives for His glory, to go where He wants us to go, do what He wants us to do. I would have never gone to Africa. I would have never gone to Haiti. I would have never gone to Mexico if it hadn't been God's guiding, God's telling me to go. I'm not cut out to do that. I just don't do that kind of stuff. But since God has guided me into the pastorate, since He's put me in a church that is mission-minded, I've had the opportunity through the leading of the Holy Spirit to do many things like that. And it's only because God moves in a way that in your life that you want to do something. You want to reach out to somebody else. You want to share the good news. You know? So this year, if God is leading you and guiding you, hopefully we can do some mission work. I was telling our deacons, I want to do mission work right here in our own town. I want to reach out to some of our neighborhoods. I want to reach out to some of our members. I don't want what we did Christmas to be the only thing that we ever do. You see? I want that kind of atmosphere flowing through this church that God would use us to continue to reach out and improve the lives of our members, but not only that, improve the lives of other people. In doing that, we're not only saying we care for you, we're actually showing we care for them, you see. It doesn't do us any good to preach the gospel to people and say, hey, you need to come to our church, if we don't care enough to help them in the process, you see. And that's what Paul was doing. He was not only preaching the word everywhere he went, but he was working with these brothers. He was telling them and showing them not only, you know, I really care for you. And that's the only way people are going to ever listen to you, if you really care for them, you see. And they know we care for them. No telling how many times over the past year I've heard, well, preacher, that church is a little too big for us. We're not like those people up there. So we're decided we're going to look for a smaller church. And I tell him, no, come on, and you'll see that we're not a big church. We love people. We love you. We want to help you. We want you to grow in the Christian way. And now Barnabas was determined, the Bible says, to take John Mark with him, but Paul insisted that they should not take him because he had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. And the Bible says a sharp contention arose among these brothers. And that word sharp contention means that, you know, it was really pretty sharp. Really down to the part of probably some pretty harsh words spoken. There was a split, if you want to call it that. You see, God guides sometimes, and He uses a sharp contention to get people to go out and do the work. And we see certainly, we don't like contention. We don't like contention in church. But in Paul's case, in Barnabas' case, Paul understood that follow-up was necessary. And he also understood that if you're going to have start mission endeavors, you've got to be solid. And Mark, he felt like, wasn't solid because he left him and went home. And we don't know why he went home. We do know that he went home. Maybe he got homesick, you know. Let me tell you something. If the plane would have left when I was over in Haiti, I'd have got homesick. I wanted to come home. I can't walk on water yet. That's the only problem. And, you know, but Barnabas, he was determined. He said, I am going to take John Mark. Now, I don't know how strong the words are, but that word departed is a very strong word. It means deserted. He deserted us. And nobody likes a deserter. He's a quitter, Paul said. He quit right before, you know, we needed him, right when we needed him most. Let me tell you, I believe he was right. Nobody likes a quitter. But I also believe he was also wrong. You see, I believe Paul knew that if you're going to be in the mission work, if you're going to do mission work, everything out there is not going to be easy, you see. People, when we go somewhere, the trip we made to Africa just wasn't really, you don't sleep in feather beds, let me say that. You don't have the comfort of what we have here. You're going to get dirty. You're going to eat some things you probably never thought you'd eat. Are you going to do without? It's not a pretty picture, but let me tell you something. Brother Bill can eat anything. He's got a, well, not anything. I saw him at one time have to spit something out. But I believe that's the only thing he spit out, wanted Teddy. Well, yes. Yeah, he did a lot for it. I didn't even pick it out of the pot. But let me tell you, you're going to have times like that, and it'll make you want to quit, but you can't quit. You've got to go on. You've got to do that. You've got to be committed. So Paul said, listen, he's a quitter, and I don't want to take a quitter with me, because when he gets over there and he gets into some tough times again, he's going to run home. He won't stick with it. Now, Barnabas was right, because in his heart, he wanted to give Mark a second chance. And folks, let me tell you something. We all need second chances, don't we? Yes. So Paul's firmness sometimes has a tendency to be too firm on a young Christian. And when you're too firm on some people as young Christians, and hey, you know, don't judge somebody by being too firm. That's up to God to do. We need a firmness, all right. We need a firmness to say, hey, that's wrong. We don't do that. That's sin. We don't do that. You can't compromise God's word and God's lifestyle. You need that kind of firmness. But you also need to be like a Barnabas who sometimes says, listen, I know it's hard. I know John Mark went home. But let's give him a second chance. You see? He wasn't used to it. So Paul says, no, I'm not going to take him. You take him. If you want to take him, you go your way with him. Well, God uses sometimes contention. God uses guides that way. Otherwise, I got to thinking Barnabas and Paul might have stayed together, and the ministry wouldn't ever went where it went. So we see God working here in this passage of Scripture, moving in different directions. And I'm glad it's here because, you know, I'm glad God says, okay, these are my men. And we all know the life of Paul. We all know the life of Barnabas. We know what type of men they were. And yet, even God's men sometimes mess up, don't we? And he used them, even though they had a division here, in a mighty way. God shows people for their warts and all, don't he? He shows people for their ugliness. He shows people, and you know what? When we do things like that, I believe we need to just apologize and go on. And the Bible says they parted company, they split up. Now, I'm not saying it's good that we have church splits. I don't want this church to split. I don't think it's good to have church splits. But you know, I know that because sometimes churches split, works continue to grow and works continue to move forward. So whatever the cause here, God used it in a mighty, mighty way. Instead of one missionary team, the Bible says now there's two missionary teams. Barnabas took Mark and went to Cyprus, and Paul he went the other way. And I'm not sure I'm sure that it helped Mark, in other words, that he go with Barnabas. Barnabas had a heart, seemed like it was a lot softer than Paul's. For later we find out over in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul is in prison and Luke is with him. And he says, Luke, I want you to bring John Mark with you when you come back, because he is profitable to me. You see, a man who's had a change of heart about Mark, you see. You see how God has, over the time, changed his heart. And I know Paul's gone through some confession. I know he's gone through some apologies to Mark, because now they're friends. And he says, this young man, Barnabas, was right. He deserved a second chance. And he got a second chance. And he is profitable to me because of that second chance in the ministry. And I believe God wants us to give people a second chance, and sometimes a third chance. You see, he made good of that chance. And maybe you're here tonight, and you're here and you're thinking, well, preacher, I've blown it too. I've been a quitter. I've been a deserter. Maybe your life, you think, well, there's no hope for me. Let me tell you something. There is hope. Our God is a God that gives a second chance. Our God is a God that guides divinely. And if you will just come to Him with your life, if no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've blown it, if you would just come to Him with a humbleness of heart and say, God, I have blown it. I have messed up. I know that God would forgive you. I know that He will turn your failures into profit for His good and His glory, if you will just let Him tonight. And you're here and you may say, well, you know, we're going to do some missionary endeavors. I would like to go on a mission trip, but I don't know if I can do that. Why don't you try it? Why don't you give it everything you got and say, Lord, with your help. Let me tell you something. You can't do it on your own, but with God's help, you can do it, you know. I can do all things. I like that old scripture. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Who's that favorite verse? A lot of you got that verse, favorite verse. Where is it found? Philippians? All right. If you got a favorite verse, you all know where it's found. She did. You know what? God's guidance is like that. So we see here in this passage of Scripture how Paul wants to go back and help the brethren. Barnabas has split. He's got two missionary teams now. And out of a sharpful contention, there's a helpful selection. Look at the verse 16:1. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city. Now, Paul is going back to Lystra. What happened in Lystra? They stoned him there, didn't they? Now let me tell you something. If you're going to do what God wants you to do, it takes also courage. It takes faith, but it also takes courage. Paul continually looked for people that he could pass the gospel message on to. Now, you have to go back. Now, 2 Timothy 2:2 says, all that thou hast heard from me, he said, among the witness, the same I want you to commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Folks, this is what a missionary endeavor does. We go, we tell people what Jesus Christ has done, and I want you to take what I'm telling you and teach others. And Paul was literally training young people continually for the ministry. That's what we are to do as a church. Yes, it takes money. Yes, it takes time. But I believe God will bless our church. I believe God will guide us, even send revival to our lives if we'll just get on fire for Him. You'd be surprised how much more missions will mean to you if you'll go to a place and work. Amen. All of those who have gone to Africa, all of those who have gone to Haiti, all of those who've gone down into Mexico, let me tell you something. You know what they face day in and day out. You know what they eat. I was eating a bowl of oats the other day. What are they? Yeah, what do they call that? Grits. I was eating a bowl of grits the other day. And have you ever tried to eat grits without butter? Salt, sugar? It don't taste very good, does it? And I put that bowl in front of me and I said, you know what? This is ugali. That's just what they eat. 3 times a day. Ugali. David knows what I see him back there looking and shaking his head. Without any sugar. Boy, without sugar, it's bad all the way around. All it is ground up corn, and they just put hot water on it, make it into a ball, a paste, you know, and then they pinch it off and eat it. You try eating that 3 times a day for all your life. Folks, it'll make you, as Americans, appreciate McDonald's. And we complain about it, don't we? If we complain about grits with sugar and butter in them if we had to eat that 3 times a day. But, you know, I know what they're going through. And when somebody says, preacher, would you give $20 for that? Man, I'll give $20 any day because I know what they're going through. You see, that makes us want to give more. When we talk about Lottie Moon missions, and, you know, I don't want to complain. I'm not complaining, not at the least. But it wouldn't hurt any one of us in here. It wouldn't hurt if we just save up and give $100 a piece to Lottie Moon instead of 5 or 20 or 50. You see, it'll make it more meaningful to you if you go over and dig a post hole instead of a tractor with an auger on the bottom of it. If you go over and get your hands dirty in that old mud and dig a couple of holes for Christ. Or if you go over, we say, I heard somebody say, you give $2,000 for a well? Why not? Do you know what that well means to them? Our friend over in Africa, every one of them they're suffering. Their babies are suffering and dying from malaria. We don't have that problem here. It's like having West Nile with no medicine whatsoever to live their life. Maurice said the other day, he was in a hospital with malaria. And he didn't even have the money to go there. Their babies die and they bury them out back in their hut because that's just the way life is. You take your children, you're thinking about our precious little babies, but death to them is just taking them out and digging a hole and putting them in that hole like we would do an animal. By the way, our animals have more than they do. And folks, it makes my heart say, yeah, I can give the Lottie Moon. I'll give 100. I'll give 200. You know, that's where it's at, folks. That's where it's at. And that's the life. Paul said, I'm going to go back there. They stoned him. And you might say, well, Paul, you're going to go back there. They're going to stone you again. Those people didn't like you. He said, it don't make any difference. They need Jesus. And if I don't go and tell them, they won't get told. You know, I can't think of a better way to die than giving your life for Jesus. Well, Timothy had witnessed the stoning of Paul. And we know Paul regarded Timothy as a son in the ministry. And Timothy had been taught. He's going with Paul. And Timothy had been taught from a child. We know that by the story of his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, his grandmother. Eunice's mother and Lois' his grandmother. Or have I got that mixed up? Anyhow, Eunice and Lois. And, you know, I don't know what the circumstances may be, but on that visit, Timothy had gone to church, and somewhere down the line, he had heard Paul preach the word, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of Timothy's heart that day and said, Timothy, I want you to be saved. And Timothy was saved, and he accepted the invitation, and now he's a minister with Paul, preaching the gospel wherever they went. I told a story one time. I heard it told in one of our evangelism services. Man said at Baptist church, deacon was going home from church one day, and he was going to have a dinner, and his wife said, anything happened in church? And she said, not much. A little old boy named Tim got saved today. When Timothy came down to get saved, the Bible tells us the angels in heaven rejoiced. You know, a sinner came home. Did anybody get saved today? Just a little boy. That little boy might be the next Paul. That little girl that came down might be the next Eunice or Mary or Martha. That little boy might be a next Billy Graham. We don't know, but I know one thing. If it hadn't been for Paul taking Timothy under his wing and teaching him all that he knew about the ministry, a lot of people never would have been saved. You see, that's how God guides. And I'm so glad that God uses young people. Was Richard here tonight? I know he is back there. He's visiting with us again tonight. I thank God for Richard. Boy, I tell you what, he's a fine young man, and I kid with him a lot, but I wish we had a lot of young men like Richard. And Richard, I want you to know that I love you, brother, and I'm going to pray for you. And I love our young people, folks, and I hope that we can take a lot of our young people in over there. They need some adults to go with them. So you be praying about that. I hope we can take some to Ethiopia. I hope we can do something like that and let them dig in a well and let them help the ladies make things and see how they live so that when they come back, you know what? When we have mission endeavors, they're going to go away and say, hey, I've been there. I want to help those people. You see, it's real in their life when they've gone there, just like it is when you go down to Houston and they work in the projects down there. They know that there's people down there that need the gospel, little kids down there that need the gospel. So we see, out of all the contention, there's a great selection of young people like Timothy and Mark that are coming along. And then there's a needful direction. It gets interesting right here in this passage of Scripture in verse 6 of 16. Look down there in verse 6 of 16. Paul is trying to go one way. Let me just take you. Paul wanted to go one way, and the Lord said, no, Paul, you can't go there. I won't let you go. Now, I don't know about you, but when the Lord shuts the door, he shuts the door. I don't know how he made it aware to Paul, but it could have been in his spirit, which I believe it probably was. But a lot of times in my going, God just simply shuts the door, and he says, I don't want you to go there. I know one thing. When God speaks to you, you know it. I just know that, folks. People ask me all the time, how do you know this is from God? Well, you just know it when you know it. And everything works out according to his will. But Paul said, I'm going to go one way. The Holy Spirit says, no, you're not going that way. Paul says, well, I want to go this way. And the Holy Spirit says, no, you're not going that way. And what the Holy Spirit did is simply kept closing doors for Paul in his spirit till he come down to Troas. Now let me tell you something. When you was at Troas, that was a dropping off place. There wasn't any other place to go for Paul. There's an ocean there. Now Paul, when he got to the ocean, God says, he sent a vision to him. He said, I heard a man from Macedonia saying, come on over and help us. You know what Paul did? He said, come on, boys, we're going on a boat ride. And they went on that boat ride. That was a very important decision of the Holy Spirit to guide Paul, for that's where the gospel actually came to Europe, folks, right here in chapter 15 and 16. With the Holy Spirit's guidance, it moved Paul over to the European coastline, and it came from there over to America. That's where we got the gospel, because of the Holy Spirit guiding Paul's life. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit guided Paul. I'm so glad Paul didn't get to go back to what he wanted to do. You see, and Paul recognized that. Now, that's how God moves. He guides us. He directs our lives. He moves us. And down in verse 8, it says, they came down to Troas, and the doors literally opened up for him to go over into Europe. There are thousands who need the gospel. Now, folks, I realize in a church and in our area, there's thousands right here that need the gospel. And I'm not saying this next year I think we ought to put all our time overseas. I think we ought to put just that much time right here doing the work of the ministry in our area to let people know in our area, listen, this church up here cares for us. You see? Additions like Oak Harbor, additions like Tamarack, additions like Bonita Point, additions like Cherokee Shores or Hidden Hills Harbor. Those are rough additions. And if you live in them, you know how they are. But those people need to know that this big old church up here just doesn't care for itself. It cares for them. And the only way we're ever going to show them that we care for them is to get down there with them and help them out. So I pray that the Lord will touch your heart. Maybe you can't go to Ethiopia. Maybe you can't go. Well, right now we can't go to Mexico. But there's a church down there. A pastor, Brother Jaime, is down there. Let me share with you. I'm talking to my missions committee. Brother Jaime needs extra money. Our association couldn't help him this year. But, you know, they've called and asked if we could, if we could help. And I said, yeah, I believe we can. You got the finances to do that? No, but God has, you see. And we've got to make a commitment. And not only that, I know that Maurice is a young man that Ron and I help out every month. We've been helping since 2000, since we went over. And I know Daniel is another one that we've been helping. Our men literally built a church for him over there. And folks, they need help. They're always asking if you can help. We're helping send their daughter to school. We're trying to educate her so she can be a nurse to help. Oh, yes, one day I plan, if I can, just to go back over there and sit with them and say, let's see what's going on in the ministry. But until then, I hope we can continue to help them and send money to them. And I want our church to get involved in that. You see, because I believe it blesses you. You see, as long as we sit down and let other people do the work, it doesn't really bless you. But when we get our hands dirty, when we get our hands involved, that's what helps. That's what helps. Sometimes disappointments in our life are divine appointments in God's life. It may be through difficult times, like the song says. It may be dark times. But if you're committed to God, He will guide you through. The anchor holds. Yep, that was a beautiful song, Brad. I'm going to close and give an invitation. But let's all stand, and I want you to sing with me. You know this song. He leadeth me. You know that song? Would you play it on the piano? You know what number it is? Find that. I don't even know. He leadeth me. Yeah, that's it. Let's sing it together. Well, you got it? 250. 52. I'm not the music director, but we're going to sing this in just a moment. Listen to the words. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hands that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scene of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, 'tis still God's hands that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hands he leadeth me. His faithful Father,